The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
This is a 680 The Fan podcast. To hear more live and local sports content like this, tune into 680 AM or 93.7 FM or download The Fan app.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
When you buy a used car, don't be taken for a ride. Get Ford Blue Advantage certified at Wade Ford, Atlanta's headquarters for factory certified pre-owned vehicles. Go to wadeford.com. There you'll find a great selection of Ford Blue Advantage certified used cars, trucks, and SUVs. With Blue certified, nearly all makes and all models are in stock now. You'll find something perfect for just about any budget. Buy with confidence at the Wade Ford factory certified used car outlet at wadeford.com. Wade Ford, we are Atlanta's Ford dealer.
680 and 93.7 FM.
Chuck and Chernoff are on the radio. Happy Monday. Let me tell you what's going on with Matt's forehead right now. I've got about an 8 head, so that thing can burn pretty easily, yeah. And it's happening right now. I mean, there is some serious burnage happening here as we're at the
beautiful hat in the car. I know hats aren't your thing, but you might consider it.
I mean, I'll take anything at this point. A babushka, a hat, anything. What's a babushka?
It's one of those Russian.
Oh, yeah, over the heads. I'll be good. Yeah. I mean, I was right. I feel good about it. I got it right. That's Los's voice you heard. Chuck is
that way your head's like a sauna for the remainder of the show.
It won't burn, though. Yeah, I'm going to pick my poison somewhere here. We're live at Sugarloaf Country Club. It's the Mitsubishi Electric Classic. It is a beautiful Monday, as we'll be here until the Braves and the Marlins go at it tonight. You'll get the Ford leadoff show at 7:20, or excuse me, at 6:05, and then first pitch at 7:20. Everybody's favorite, Bryce Elder. Watch social media when he gives up a first inning run, and oh, they will go nuts. So that's tonight. You'll get the action on The Fan on FM at 93.7, AM at 6:80, and of course, all over the 6:80 The Fan mobile app. Our 4 o'clock hour, presented by Entry Point Doors and Windows, Atlanta's local expert for entry doors and windows. They're Atlanta's best for a reason. Go to entrypointatlanta.com for a free estimate.
Is it fine that Bryce Elder was never that for me? That was Sean Newcomb because he was built like a Greek god. He would just nibble and miss with high-end speed.
The frustration was real. Yeah,
yeah. With Elder, I look at him, I go, you don't have all the stuff to just go after people.
No, there was a point at near the end of the first half a year ago where you started to see the traditional numbers and some of the advanced analytics weren't matching up, and you're like, oh, God, the regression is going to come. You just hoped it wouldn't hit him in the face, and it did. No, I'm not mad at it. But listen, Bryce didn't ask to start game 3 of the postseason. Bryce was the choice of the Braves because they were out of other options, and Bryce wasn't left in to face Bryce Harper by his own choice. That was Snit. So I get the frustration, but Bryce is what he is.
There were moments last year where the exit velocity, yet the batter's average against, were so out of whack because they're smashing balls right at people, and you go, that's going to find a hole at some point in the second half.
But I would add to it, if Bryce is your fifth starter in a lot of cases, you're
happy.
Fine.
Yeah.
You're fine. Doc McChuckins is going to make a special, not house call, but a road call here to Sugarloaf as we're just a few days away from the draft. What does Doc have in store for us today?
Two players from little schools that could make a big impact for the Falcons in the second round.
All right, we'll get that coming up. But first, help will have to come from within, Lowe says about the Braves later this summer.
I had to take a look at the overall rankings when it came to the Braves' top 30 prospects. And when you look at their minor league system, it's considered 28th overall. And let's remember, that's because all those guys are here. It's a plethora of all-stars. It's one of the youngest and best teams in baseball. They're going to be good for a long time. So they were obviously a top program, and now it's rebuild time. Here's what happens. When you start getting desperate for pitching, understand that that is the biggest tax on your minor league system when you look for veteran pitching middle, late of the year. And so for the time being, I know here comes Elder, and it makes you crazy. And we look at Smith Shalver, and we're saying, okay, how is he progressing? And what's going on with a handful of the rest of our arms? this is a situation where you're going to have to get through the next probably 30, 40 starts of what would have been, you know, the combination of Spencer and then whenever they go ahead and decide, hey, okay, let's back up a guy and let's give guys a little bit of extra rest because you are starting a 35-year-old and a 40-year-old. You are going to have to do it from within.
Yeah.
And I don't put it past AA to be able to find a deal later in the year. Like when he brought in the gas man, all right, nobody was looking at him saying, whoa, what a huge pickup.
Alex was ahead on Gosman before everybody else.
Exactly.
Now, it didn't exactly work out to the extent that it ended up working out with Baltimore and the way it was Baltimore, right?
But he was ahead of the game.
Or Toronto. Toronto paid him.
Yep.
Like, he saw something that this top five talent just didn't happen here.
And I think that that's what you're going to be looking at later in the summer. This is not a situation where you're going to say, well, who's the best one on the market? Let's go get him. You're not going to have the ammunition.
Probably not.
That everyone else is. So this is about you got to do it from within, and you're going to have to depend on that scouting staff, which, in my opinion, they've got to be hitting like 850. Like, they see things analytically that gives them an edge on why we should get this guy at this particular time for pennies on the dollar.
You know the one I'm sort of hopeful for, and I've talked about this a couple of times now. It would have to take some things sort of lining up. And other teams will be interested, so it's not like it'd just be the Braves. If Houston does tank and they're bad,
yeah,
I'm making a push for Justin Verlander. He's the perfect option for two reasons. A, the Mets are paying a lot of his salary.
Right.
Houston's paying some of it, and even next year is an option. The Mets are already picking up a lot of it next year, so it would be really inexpensive, number one. Funny that the Mets are paying part of it. And, Los, who profiles more? That if he's healthy when you get to the postseason, you're like, all right, give me a couple of starts, or hopefully we get on a run. And I don't know what that's going to cost you. I don't know, for a 2 month and then maybe an option, middle of the road prospect. And the Braves are, let's be clear, the Braves aren't going to make a bad trade just to make a bad trade. But if Alex thinks they're within striking distance of a championship again, they have shown you, we'll give up the future career of Vaughn Grissom for a few years of Chris Sale. So I think that somewhere is in play, as long as it's not an egregious deal, that if... Because I don't know this. Does Verlander have a no-trade clause that I'd have to look?
I know he had to waive it in order to go back to Houston, okay. So I'd assume he still has that active.
Now, he would have to agree to not have one here because the Braves don't give them. But I only bring that up because he can veto some other deals. You know Verlander would love to be here, right? If Houston's bad, he's shown he's healthy, came back the other night to pitch here in this atmosphere in the middle of a pennant race. Like, you're right. It's most likely not going to be that, but that's the one outlier that I would look
for. Oh, that's the one you wouldn't see coming.
Right.
That's the one where you would say, really, we're going to pay this guy $35 million? No, you're not. Because here is where the salary has kept pushing from one organization to the next.
I saw the numbers the other day. The Mets are picking up a good portion of the money.
And if there's anything that I'm hoping, watching a guy like Chris Sale and watching a guy like Morton, you recognize that veteran pitching, even Freed at 31.
Oh, he's a veteran. Well, yeah, absolutely.
These guys have a certain factor in them. Like Chris Sale the other day. He wasn't good, but he was like, I got to go six. I got to hold the bullpen in order.
And veteran, with this offense, you know, if I can just hold the line.
Veteran guys do that.
Yeah.
So if you tell me I'm bringing in a guy and it's July and you're like, well, what are we going to get out of him? I'm like, you're going to get 10 good starts.
You know, and we talked about it Thursday, but like the funniest or the thing you didn't see coming, it's April, so the playoffs don't start for 5 months.
Yeah, we're a ways away.
If they did, I'd give the ball to Ronaldo Lopez in game one today. That's how sick he's been,
that's how
right?
he's been, yeah. It's worth it.
Now, I fully expect Max will be Max. I just do. But that's how good Ronaldo's been. And I'd have no fear of giving Chris Sale the ball in a game two. I'd have no fear at all of giving Charlie the ball in one of the other games. And if you can supplement it with something else. All right,
you know who Charlie is for me? Charlie's my first start on the road in a series.
That's fine.
I'm like, I'm going to put you in Philadelphia or New York or wherever in L.A., and that's not going to be too big for you because you're Charlie Morton.
You've heard me say this before. Any move I make at the deadline, if I'm a team like the Braves, is to try to limit postseason weirdness. Because I can't control the 5 days off, and I can't control if my bats are going to wake up, and I can't control a ball that drops in, you know, Bermuda Triangle between my shortstop, third baseman, and left fielder. What I can do, though, is never have to deal with being stuck with Bryce Elder in game three because I ran out of pitching, right? So if I can do something to limit that playoff weirdness by adding another piece, I'm going to do it. Just because if I'm the favorite to win the championship, I've got to do that. We're always giving away great prizes around here. Right now, we've got a pair of tickets for you guys to see Little Big Town. They're coming back to town, Gas South Arena, December 12th. Caller 7, those tickets are yours to see Little Big Town. You can call 404-231-1680 as we celebrate 25 years of Little Big Town celebrating their big-time tour as they Take Me Home. The tour comes back to Atlanta with special guest Sugarland and the Castellos. Castellos, is that right? Tickets are on sale, available now at Ticketmaster.com. Again, go online to Ticketmaster.com.
Dr. McChuckins.
Time for your checkup. Time for your checkup.
I'm gonna check your ears, check your eyes, find out how much you've grown.
Time for your checkup.
It's okay if you giggle.
Ha ha ha.
This will only tickle a little.
Ha ha ha.
Time for your checkup.
Time for your checkup.
All right, we are 1 week away, less than a week away, from the NFL draft getting started on Thursday. And I don't believe you're going to hear either one of these players' names. But it's a really good possibility you're going to hear it at the top of the second round, possibly involving the Atlanta Falcons. Now, I ask you to look west. If you're driving, well, don't look. Matt, it's that direction.
Yeah.
It's west. And don't look too far west,
right,
because, quite honestly, Michigan's not west.
I can see it!
And Kentucky, not really west. But no. I want to talk about a couple of these players. One of them is Marshawn Nealon. Now, he's an edge player from Western Kentucky. Why is the name important to you? He has been on the Falcons' 30-visit list, and this is the area you're looking at, along with like a guy like, let's say, a Darius Robinson from Missouri. These are the sort of players you're looking at if you do not get the pass rusher at the top of the first round. If you end up, something crazy happens, you end up with the biggest left tackle in the game in this draft. If you end up with, hey, I've got the best corner because that's what made the most sense. I moved down, I grabbed this. Well, then you might look at somebody else. Marshawn Nealon is power right off the snap of the football. Every single time you watch him for Western Michigan, that's what he gives you. And not only that, this isn't one of those players at nearly 270 pounds. When the quarterback moves, that's the end of the pass rush. This guy is agile. Like, he changes direction and gets right after. He's played as a stand-up linebacker. He's also played as a traditional defensive end. Again, a 30-visit for the Atlanta Falcons. You will like him. Now, yes, sometimes bigger opponents can go and take advantage of him. Didn't so much happen when he got into postseason play, but that's one of the things you also look at. Also, another player from a Western school, Western Kentucky, Malachi Corley. If you're trying to find that next piece at wide receiver, and it may not be Ladd McConkey, it may not be Adonai Mitchell, it might be somebody a little bit further down the board. Why does Malachi Corley from Western Kentucky make a lot of sense? He is what we're now seeing like in San Francisco. San Francisco's trying to draft wide receivers that look like running backs, that when they get the ball in their hands, the run after catch isn't just about being faster than other people, and Corley is, but he's stronger. We're talking legitimate, like 210, 215 pounds, where when he gets it, it's like smaller players trying to tackle a decent-sized running back in the secondary. So when it comes to looking out west when the Falcons pick in the early second round, assuming they'll still have their second-round pick, which I believe is going to happen, I would say just keep a couple of those names in mind. That's Marshawn Nealon, and that's Malachi Corley.
Time for your checkup. Time for your checkup.
All right, coming up, you've probably all heard the term heat culture. Well, now I think it's past time to define Braves culture. It's a real thing. We'll talk about it next.
What is love? Baby, don't hurt me.
Your vision is overrated. You only need to feel.
What's not the vision?
Feel.
All right, now the vision's bad, so it's not the vision is the issue.
Baby, it's the brightest day in recorded history at Sugarloaf today.
It's beautiful out here.
It's beautiful, but the sun is directly beating on my very pale face.
And it makes it hard to read our screen.
Got no computer screen, but you know what? I'm still dealing today. Throwing a two-hit shutout, I feel great. Los is in for the King. Chuck back tomorrow. It's Chuck and Chernoff on the Fan. We're on FM at 93.7, AMing it at 680.
Look at me. You're strong.
I am strong.
Look at me.
You strong?
You're strong. I'm
happy strong.
Happy
birthday.
Let's do it.
We're with you till the until the Braves.
Happy birthday.
Braves and the Marlins go tonight at 7:20. Ford leadoff show will get you all hyped for that fun coming up. Coming up here in about 5 minutes, had Bill Belichick ended up here, how does that change how you see the Falcons draft this week? You'll have to decide, and so will Los. He'll tell you about it coming up in a couple of moments. Now, as we continue our 4 o'clock hour, which is all presented by Entry Point Doors and Windows, Atlanta's local expert for entry doors and windows. They are Atlanta's best for a reason. Go to entrypointatlanta.com for a free estimate. I want to remind you guys to join the Fan and our sister station where you can hear Los morning 6 to 10 on Extra 106.3 as we adopt the duck.
Quack, 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 quack.
That's right, to support Special Olympics of Georgia and its athletes. Special Olympics of Georgia and their duck pluck program, I have not tripped up on that one yet,
quack,
is currently offering rubber ducky adoptions where your donation not only gets you registered for some great prizes, but your support will help to send athletes to the games. To adopt your duck
quack
and support Georgia's Special Olympics duck pluck,
Very dangerous.
So close.
Go to SpecialOlympicsGA.com. All right, so as the draft now gets closer by the day, I know all of our attention is on the Falcons and finding the right pick for the right culture they're trying to build. And for the Hawks, it's trying to put a culture together. All these teams use the same words, right, Lois? It's always culture. The one that gets obnoxious is hearing about the Miami Heat's culture, the Heat culture. That's been a thing that's been talked about forever. We can plug and play with whatever. Yes, when we have LeBron and the Heatles, we'll win, but we'll turn Jimmy Butler into Michael Jordan's son. Or we'll take Tim Hardaway and Alonzo Mourning, who are good players, and they'll be a core to a championship team. And it's just kind of how the Heat have been put together. I can tell you right now, the Braves' culture is just as similar. Like, it's real. The Braves deal with all kinds of issues every year, and not once is it used as an excuse. In fact, in the biggest year of injuries to their franchise, where they lost Ronald Acuna, their whole outfield got hurt. Marcel was taken away because, well, Marcel did something dumb, allegedly, and he was off that team that year. And the Braves won the championship. How did they do it? The guys who came in bought into the culture. And they had a run like you would have never imagined. From Rosario to Soler, Jock had his moments, and Adam Duvall. And the culture just carried on. Don't forget, in that World Series, Charlie Morton broke his leg in the first start of the World Series. You won World Series games by starting Dylan Lee, right? And starting, why am I going blank on the other lefty that ended up starting and then was gone a couple of years? Like they it wasn't like a stacked Glavin, Maddox, and Smoltz kind of a thing. Every year the Braves lose people. Whether it was Acuna that year, that outfield, whether it was last season losing Max and Kyle Wright. Do you know how many teams would have buckled when you lose for most of the summer, Kyle?
And how long Ozzie went down for?
Well, Ozzie too.
Yeah.
And already this year, we're not to May, and you're done with Spencer Strider for the year. You haven't had Sean Murphy except for three ABs in the opener. He was an all-star catcher, and you mentioned Ozzie was out yet again. And the good news sounds like Ozzie could be back sooner rather than later. But the Braves lose three all-stars, and they still started the season like this. I just want to remind everybody, it's not normal. It's not typical. Like, the Dodgers, the Mets, these top-heavy teams, like, the Dodgers right now are barely above 500 team. They're a very top-heavy club. The Mets fell apart a year ago once the injuries took away Verlander and took away DeGrom. They fell to pieces. But the Braves every year, it's like, okay, Luis Guillorme, go play some second base and we'll figure it out. Right? You're going to go handle it. Now you've lost Spencer Strider. We're going to have to piecemeal this for most of the season until we get to a point of either acquiring somebody else or one of our real young top prospects is ready. Lois, I saw some numbers that I thought were just so telling about the Braves. This from Elias Sports. The Braves are averaging a league high, 6.4 runs per game this season. Atlanta has scored now 125 runs in their first 20 games. Since 1900, the most runs scored for the Braves in their first 20 games was 126. They're one run off that pace in 1999 and in the year 1900. Now, here's what's interesting about the 1999 team. That team lost Andres Galarraga to cancer.
Yeah.
That team lost Javi Lopez, I believe, to an ACL.
Yeah, it was a knee injury that year.
They went to the World Series with Eddie Perez stepping in and winning the NLCS MVP, Gerald Williams leading off and playing left field, and having to figure it out along the way. This is nothing new. So this Braves team, which again, without their ace, arguably, without their starting second baseman, without their all-star catcher, they lead the bigs in average, on base percentage, slugging, OPS, and they have a huge lead in the OPS department. DOB chronicled it, a 42-point lead over everybody else in baseball in OPS and a 30-point lead in slugging. They've already won series against the Phillies, Diamondbacks, Astros, and Rangers. You know what they have in common? That was your final four.
Yeah, playoff teams.
They're 10-2 against those clubs. The Braves culture is real. Guys just step in and, yeah, figure it out.
I believe Heat culture is real because of Pat Riley and the tone it sets. It's different with the Braves in that it's an organizational belief from the top down that this is the level you're supposed to play at, but this is what it takes to do it. And I think Brian Snitker's a bit part of that because he's been part of it for so long. I ask you this, you know, especially for people in the car or Matt or anybody else. Can you imagine going into business with any one of your close siblings?
No, God, no.
Right, because you have to be together all the time, and it takes certain types of people to make a room work and to make a business work. That is what Alex Anthopoulos' big lesson was from Toronto, was that you can't just grab guys and say, hey, here's the number on the back of your baseball card. Get in there in that clubhouse and make it work. Some dudes just aren't dudes. They ruined it. They are turd in the punch bowl. And for any time anybody would tell me, well, you know, Marcelo Ozuna got in this sort of trouble, Marcelo Ozuna is loved in that clubhouse.
They love him.
They love that dude in the clubhouse. You make mistakes, you know what? They still love him. That is the culture they've built to where when somebody goes down, they get tighter. They're like, here, look, how do we grind through this? That's
so
just different.
Glad you brought that up because that relates to where I wanted to spin this. Every time Trevor Bauer has a good outing wherever he's pitching, I don't know, the Cape Cod League.
I get the tweets as well.
Why aren't we getting him? Because their chemistry and their culture matters to them. And I'm not saying Trevor would come in and mess it up, but I don't think the Braves are in the business of even trying. There's a chance that, I don't know what the story on Trevor is in a lot of places, that beyond the potential three legal battles that he could have left, I don't care, I don't know, that they might just not want to rock the boat with his personality, right? Doesn't mean they're not quirky. The Braves went quirky with Josh Donaldson. They went quirky with Jock Peterson. They have quirky in Tyler Matzek. That's okay. But they believe in their culture. When they lose 7 of 10, and it's going to happen, and when the Brave fan, and they're always the same guys who freak, this team's not as good, they're struggling, you know what they think in that clubhouse? Yeah, oh, well, we're fine. We'll figure it out.
We got another week. We play tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll win our 7 of our next 10 after losing 7 of 10 because the culture works.
With Trevor Bauer, and I speak from this from experience, I have a family member that played minor league ball with him. And even when he didn't have money and in the minor leagues, weirdest dude on the team. And not just weirdest dude from like, oh, hey, he's kind of strange, as in the kind of weirdness you didn't want to be around. That was off-putting, that you just said, uh-uh. Like this guy.
It sounds right. 30 teams have had a shot to sign him. Nobody is.
And so, what do you think the reputation is? Huh. So I'm right there with you. Your culture does matter. And yes, 1 out of 26, you would say, well, what can one guy really affect it? Well, you don't even want to try.
Yes,
because the culture's good.
Ask the Padres what happened last year. You could argue the Padres were player for player as talented as the Braves a year ago.
Most talented, probably, team in the National League last year,
and they fell apart. Word was this one hated this one, this one couldn't get along with this one, and we go, well, that's no big deal. Yeah, if you're winning, it's no big deal. If you're losing, you go, maybe it is a big deal.
What was it with the Yankees years ago? It was, you know, 25 players, 25
cows.
Limos.
Yeah, and that's fine.
Cows, 25 limos.
You don't have to be best friends with guys.
No, but there has to be a professional environment that's created in which guys enjoy working with one another. They don't have to be best friends. Don't have to go do dinner. Don't have to go save each other on ATVs when Snowmageddon hits. But you do have to have a vibe that's going on.
And the culture doesn't guarantee you win championships. Not at all.
No, but you know what?
But it guarantees you have a chance to get there.
But when things get bad.
Correct.
And it gets bad for everybody, doesn't matter what kind of business it's in. When you've got a good culture, you have a chance to withstand it.
Well, how do you deal with chaos?
You don't fall apart. You just get together.
When you handle chaos well. But again, the postseason is such a crapshoot and a short thing. What I'm sort of relating to is 6 months of this stupid. That season sucks. If I'm in that war, like, that is a grind of a season that will eat you alive if you're not able to handle the culture, the clubhouse, the chemistry, any of it.
You want to pull back the curtain? When it was the early part of the Braves rebuild, after they'd moved on from the Uptons and they were moving on and everything else, we would show up, and I'd always have to tell Chuck, we have to find the ray of sunshine because we can't talk for 6 months about how this sucks.
Right.
Now imagine those guys in the clubhouse where it does. You can't just pretend that everything's good.
It's July and you know you can't win.
Right. But you've got to start building that culture somewhere. And for as much as everybody wants to say, oh, why'd you go get Markakis? It's because when they realized they were starting to get better and they had young guys, it was, we need to create a culture of professionalism and winning and do not quit in you.
You know what's ruined this. It's our generation, though.
Yeah.
Our generation of Madden and simulating games and putting rosters together, we've ruined this.
I put it all together. My team wins all the time. I'm a Madden champion.
Because we think these digital players, it doesn't matter. They have to get along, and they have to have some kind of same page. Because we did this. It's our generation.
Bless their little digital hearts that have always worked so well for me.
Yeah. All right, coming up, I think Trae Young just told his billionaire boss, you got one more year to fix this. We'll tell you why coming up in just a moment. But first, what if Bill Belichick had gotten the Falcons job? What if Bill was in charge? What would that have meant for this Thursday night? How different would it look?
I think Bill Parcells was like a different kind of character. Remember, Bill Belichick worked with him as a defensive coordinator, and Bill Parcells would have these human moments. He was fun to listen to. And by the time Bill Belichick got out of Cleveland, I think he had made this decision in his mind. I'm no longer going to have human components, so I don't have to answer human interest stories. Like, he just kind of thought, like, if I just act inhuman, then nobody will ask me human stuff about what I care about.
It almost worked.
Yeah. And so, yeah, we look at it from that view, and you recognize that he's probably actually a pretty interesting guy to be around. He hears some really good stories. But what was the M.O.? The M.O. was that he could allocate resources to defensive players in the draft, and it would work. Like, that was what he was known for. What else was he known for? Can't pick a receiver to save his life in the top of the draft. Just, it never worked out.
I never thought he turned out to be, when he took over, he's not a great talent evaluator.
No.
That's never been his strong suit. In fact, you can argue that probably hurt his chances of having more success because he was too over-involved in that stuff.
He was able to find tight ends. That was one of the strong suits. And he was able to find offensive linemen that could play for a couple of years before they would leave. Because he was using first-round picks on, like, tackles, and none of them could end up playing. They would all kick inside to guard and then would end up being off the roster in about 4 to 5 years. I think part of what's going on is that because there's not really an MO for this regime other than best player available and let's see what direction they go, I think that creates a little bit of extra excitement. Whereas I think if Bill was here, we'd all be saying, all right, who's the biggest – who's the defensive player?
Right.
Who's the defensive player in the second round? Then who's the third rounder he's going to go ahead and take that's going to be the wide receiver that's 5'8 from Louisville that we're hoping turns into a player? Because that was his MO.
He had his profile,
yes,
of players he liked. Now, do you believe? Because I do believe the reporting. I don't believe Bill. But I believe the Seth Wickersham, Don Van Atta, Jeremy Fowler piece last week that Bill told the Falcons, I just want to coach. I'll play nice with Terry and I'll play nice with Rich. I believe the reporting. I believe Bill said it at the beginning, but you can't change who you are.
No.
Once he was in the building, I think Bill would have then, as you said, wanted to come back to, like, sitting in the room. Picture Bill Belichick with Terry at one side, if Rich was somehow still involved, and the Falcon pro personnel staff and the college staff all together. Who's going to get the final vote?
Bill.
How would he give that up?
Every time.
How would he give that up at this point?
How would he be able to listen to Terry Fontenot, who's done 9 months of research on every one of these people, has been to every one of these places, has had scouts on the road, and Bill goes, well, I like this one better.
That's who he is. So that's why, like I said, I believe the reporting. I don't believe Bill. So that would have made Thursday night different for a lot of ways because clearly, and this is, Lowe's, here's what's interesting. Hiring Raheem made me believe that they were going to be more forward-facing long-term, but they went and got Kirk right away. I think had Bill been here, they would have also tried to get Kirk, and we heard those rumors anyway. But I also think they would have really gone big for this couple of years knowing we got to move. We got the quarterback for 2 years, the coach trying to beat Don Shula's record, we got to go. So I don't know what that would have looked like. It could have been a lot of, like, really reckless veteran player deals that they would have signed. That's what I think it would have looked like with Bill.
Bill always got away with having the greatest quarterback of all time on a lesser deal. I have a hard time believing he would pay top market, top value for a guy like Kirk Cousins at his age. I think he would have signed Jacoby Brissett to a 1 year deal and been like, let me just show you how smart I am.
Oh, I think he might have tried, right?
I mean,
I think the Kirk thing, again, his desperation. Bill trying to beat Don. Bill trying to show I can do it with somebody else. His desperation might have changed his mindset of like, all right, pay Kirk. It's not what I typically do, but go get him.
I did see Cam Newton on my flight last night.
Did you really?
Yeah, and I thought to myself,
what was the fit?
First off, he still looks like RoboCop.
Yeah, he looks great.
Except he also had your trendy aunt's hat on.
Yeah, still. He lives the gimmick.
Yeah, and he's sitting in first class.
Now, he was in first class. Where were you?
Of course. Oh, way back.
Yeah.
Way in the back. Yeah. We got a flight very late. We changed flights.
He's also a huge dude. He needs leg room. Cam Newton, see, on the field, we think Cam's big anyway. See Cam Newton on a plane, that's an enormous human being.
But at the same time, Bill Belichick was like, let me show you how smart I am.
You got Cam.
I'm going to take Cam, and look what I'm going to be able to accomplish.
It would have been fun for us.
It would have been interesting.
It would have been fun for us. I don't know if it would have worked for them.
There would have been a little bit of a bummer aspect of it. Could you imagine, like, because you know what happened. The after Thursday night, it's like my favorite time to listen to teams, because after the first night, they talk about resetting their board. Right. We got the guy we wanted. Bill would have been like,
oh, we have, like, six more picks to make, and
we don't know what we're going to do.
We like the player.
Oh, it's been so fun.
All right, talk to him. We called him. We like the player.
I have my doubts about Raheem and the Falcons working.
Raheem's going to be like, this guy's the greatest dude we've ever scouted.
But you win the pressers. You do. You have fun with it. I would have had serious doubts about Bill. That was never – like, I always said, Bill. I didn't want Bill because I knew it was going to work. I wanted Bill because I wanted the story.
I wanted the stories.
Yeah, the story would have been fun. Now, Matt Ryan was a story today. He signed, I guess, a one-day deal or whatever that looks like and retired. And there was a big press conference. Matt had the ice cubes with him. They were all decked out. Matt was in his suit. Arthur Blank wearing a very Marty McFly kind of a vest, like he's in the Navy.
Like he's in the Navy?
Yeah.
He jumped off a ship?
He's at the presser. You want to have that end of your career, even if it didn't end in Atlanta. You always dream of, like, I can come back, do the presser, this franchise loves me, I'll get over the 2 weeks of anger over the Deshaun thing, and we'll end it that way. I bring that up because the likelihood of that happening for Trae Young is almost, it's non-existent. It just doesn't happen in the NBA for most players. I mean, who starts in one place and finishes in one place if you play 10, 12, 13 years? It just doesn't happen. And, Los, we are into the offseason, which means Trae Young trade season is here. Trae at exit interviews Friday's like, I want to be here. The Hawks said we want him here. It doesn't stop the rumors from happening. Here's Trae addressing what he wants to do moving forward.
I want to be here. I want to win championships here and do that. But I want to win. So, I mean, that's pretty much all it is for me. That's my motto, and that's been me from the beginning.
When you say I want to win, though, do you believe that can be here with the Hawks, or do you believe it's somewhere else?
No, I believe it can be here. We gotta make it happen.
Do you hear the way he said can? I'm going to interpret it can.
It can if he would spend.
Well, not just spend, but can we get it right, guys? Can not just spend. How about we don't give away our parts? Just in salary dumps to make our roster objectively worse because
of
the money.
You did a good job with that last week of just lining out. When you're letting, you know, even a guy where you look at him and you say, all right, Red Velvet's a nice player. It's not a franchise changer. What's the big deal if he moves on?
He was a nice fit with Trae.
It was a good component that was key when you needed baskets.
And you gave him away for two
backup players
who aren't going to be here anyway, and then a hope of a first-round pick, which still hasn't conveyed, by the way. The John Collins thing's just laughable. We don't have to go back down that road. But what Trae just said to me right there, and I'll cover the larger part of it, is I think we can. I don't know if we can. I think we can. Now, Kurt Heelan, I think it's Pro Basketball Talk, came out with the story over the weekend that said the Hawks are going to try to trade Trae Young. It's going to happen. They're going to trade him. Doesn't matter what Trae says or the Hawks say. Landry Fields at his exit interview the other day was like, no, we want to build around him. So no matter what they say, everybody's going to do the trade stuff. Let me be clear for the 50th time. I feel like I'm Arthur Blank at that press conference when they fired Smitty and kept Thomas. Unless Trae asks out, I'm never trading him. For basketball reasons and for business reasons. And I always say this, you can tell who watches the Hawks and who doesn't. And I don't blame y'all for not watching. It's a bad product. I'm sick. I love that team as much as I hate them, and I watch them. Some nights hate watch them. Trae this year was awesome again. Without Trae, they didn't get better. They played bad teams who were hurt, and the Hawks took advantage of that. If you're rooting for DeJounte over Trae to be here, what you're saying is, even if we get everything else perfect around DeJounte, the best we could be is about middle of the pack in the East. That's the ceiling if DeJounte Murray's your best team. You know what the ceiling is if Trae's your best team? I saw it. It was two wins from the finals. You can make excuses of what happened around them. You can talk. I saw it. With a very young Trae Young in his first playoff run, I watched it. He dominated the playoffs. He averaged 30-plus points a game. He single-handedly beat the Knicks. He helped pull off that upset against the Sixers and then damn near pulled it off against... I watched it. You all watched it, too. Don't pretend it didn't happen or it was a flip. You watched it. But that team built around Trae in a way that they were deep, more shooters, more depth, bench was better. That team is not this team now by choices they have made. I told Nick and Chris this, and I meant it. If I'm Trae, hell yes, I'm asking out. I don't trust this organization is going to do what's best to put me in a position to compete for championships. I'm in my prime. I think he's going to have one more year before he publicly says, get me the hell out of here, and I won't blame him at all.
It's not so much just the starters, because that's always an important aspect of every NBA team, of course, goes without saying. But it's also the components that the franchise is willing to pay for, and whether it's a little bit in the luxury tax, wherever it is, when you've got a star player, you look to enter into the luxury tax. The problem is that when ownership shows you they won't enter significantly the luxury tax, it's basically telling you...
No, they won't come close. They find a way to get out of even getting close to the number.
They're telling you they don't believe they have that star player, even though they do.
Yeah.
And that's the part that frustrates... Like, when I have a Danilo Gallinari on my team, and he's coming off the bench, and he's making like $9 million, okay, that's not crazy money in the NBA. You might be like, oh, $9 million? He's not even a starter. That's the price of guys that can impact off the bench. And when the team goes, yeah, we don't really need any of those kind of guys. Let's where's Sadiq Bey?
They traded 5 second-round picks for a guy with an expiring contract.
How can we go get this? Yeah, I'm with you. You're not serious.
No, they're unserious.
And if you believe you have a star. Like, for instance, I think you've got a combo, Trae, with someone. When we were talking about Rudy Gobert, you know, a year ago, and people are like, oh, why would you want to go get Rudy Gobert? It's because Rudy Gobert, more so than anybody else, erases mistakes made by offensively focused players.
Yeah, defensively deficient.
Offensively focused
wings
players.
And guards.
And Rudy Gobert takes care of that.
He did that for Donovan Mitchell.
And that's exactly, and he's doing it in Minnesota as well. If you're telling me that Trae Young ends up with like a Victor Wembanyama who erases everything, Trae suddenly looks like, oh my God, he's nowhere near as deficient. Sure. But that's the sort of thing where the if you want him, you've got to add those types of components to this team, and they cost money to do it.
Let's also be clear: when they trade Trae, if they do, they're trading for draft picks.
Yes,
you don't trade for stars.
Pennies on the dollar.
You don't get stars back in these trades. You're going to get a bunch of picks, and you're going to just try to get those picks right again, or use those to trade for somebody else later on. It's a frustrating scenario with that franchise. It's a shame. Top to bottom, it really is. All right, coming up, Los tells me he met a former NFL player at a bar in Philadelphia. This sounds like a joke.
Shohei Ohtani.
Not him.
No, he's not current.
Not Shohei, Shaho, none of those guys. Los met a former NFL player at a bar in Philadelphia.
Colin, if you don't delete that, I'm going to management.
And they both and they both agreed to agree on Atlanta. And Kirk Cousins, what did they agree about? Find out next. Chuck and Chernoff are on the radio. I would be the Matt part of the Chernoff equation. Chuck, the Oliver part, he is out today. He'll be back tomorrow. It's okay, Chuck. We'll be back. Los, Carlos Medina, host of the Extra Morning Show on Extra 106.3. You can hear morning 6 to 10. Over there by downloading the Extra app. He's in with us today until Braves Marlins invade your radio tonight with the Ford leadoff show and then a 7:20 first pitch. You'll get it all here on The Fan on FM at 93.7 AM. We get it at 680, and of course, that's 680 The Fan mobile app. Now, since Los is in, he not only has to fill Chuck's seat, he also has to fill his role. We've got a college football today coming up in a moment. Tease us.
It's not just going to be at the top of the Georgia depth chart. It's going to be almost at the top of the entirety of the SEC.
All right, we'll get that coming up. But first, Los and an NFL player walk into a bar. The NFL player's got a chicken under his arm. Are we supposed to guess who the player is, or is this, are you going to tell us?
Ha, ha, ha. No, so if you remember the name Ben Utech,
okay,
this is a tight end in, like, the middle of the aughts who, you know, had a little bit of a run. He was picked up by the Indianapolis Colts, and this was, of course, during the time where Peyton Manning wants tight ends.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm going to throw you the football. He's a four-year starter at Minnesota. Went over to Cincinnati, played with Carson Palmer, right? So I end up at the downstairs hotel bar because all the parents during these giant tournaments always end up back over at the bar just to, you know, have a drink, whatever.
Yeah, it's because you're luscious. You've been watching volleyball today. You need to take the edge off.
You got to take the edge off. Yeah. It's way too intense. So this guy with a Northern Lights backpack comes over, and we start chatting. It's me and a couple of the other dads. And we start kind of talking about, you know, what we do, what we did, and he's like, oh, you know, I got a chance to play with a couple of these guys, and I was like, I go, I fear you're either a tight end or a center. He's like, oh, I played tight end, and then he introduced himself. He's like, oh, I'm Ben, and I'm like, oh, I'm Carlos. And in my mind, I'm like, Ben, I think this is UTech.
What if you would have thought Hartstock?
No, because Hartstock was big. Like, you know, like, yeah, you could pick out Ben
Hartstock. I am the worst at picking out NFL players.
And so in my mind, I'm like, this is Ben Utech. I was like, I know who this dude is.
All right.
Well, so we start chatting, and again, he's a Minnesota guy. You know, played with the Golden Gophers, did his 4 years there. He's got four daughters, basically retired as an NFL player there. And he goes, so what do you think about Kirk Cousins? And like, so now there's a $1 million question.
Right.
And I just said to him, I go, I think Kirk Cousins will look back and will say he's the perfect player to play 5 years wherever he's playing. That it's 5 years, and for those 5 years, there's numbers, and there's wins, and there's fun, and there's explosive plays. And at the end of 5 years, you go, all right, what's next? Because that's what happened in Washington. And when he went to Minnesota, it's been 5 years, and they've won.
Yeah,
they've
won a little. Win.
Well, I mean, a Minnesota team getting 13 wins.
Yeah, they had one of those.
You know, that's in there.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, come on. You still bring up, you know, 2016 like it was something awesome for you. It ended in a normal way.
Do you know who does that? Loser teams and loser fans like myself.
But you got that season. I mean, that's what you kind of hope for. Yeah, I'm sitting on, like, these 12-5 seasons that all end in pain. I just go, well, but it was fun while I was there. The thing that he looked at me, and he just goes, yeah, I think you're right, because at no point as a Minnesota fan, because he grew up as a Vikings fan, was he upset that he was moving, but he was also appreciative that he had him.
Sure.
And so it's a weird scenario where losing your quarterback, you now have two different franchises, and it'll be eventually with the Falcons a third, who just say, it was just time.
I don't know who said it, so I wish I could give proper credit, but it was one of the better analogies I've ever heard. Kirk Cousins is a chain restaurant. Always have a decent enough meal.
Okay, yeah.
Like, let's say he's Chili's. And I forget who, again, I'd love to give proper credit because it was so good. Let's say Kirk is Chili's, not Applebee's. right?
It's better.
He's Chili's. You kind of know what you're going to get. It's not going to be, you know, five-star cuisine, but you know.
I'm going to leave happy.
Those Southwestern egg rolls are going to be pretty good.
Those Presidentes always hit the right way.
I'm going to have a pretty good burger.
Yeah.
They have nice desserts. The service is going to be fine, and the meal's going to be within my budget.
Yeah.
Now, Kirk has sometimes broken the budget. That's kind of what he is.
So when the Chili's closes on my street, I'm not really broken up about it. I mean, it's a bummer, but at this point, I'm looking around going, oh, there's got to be something other than just Chili's.
It's all relative. Like, for the Falcons, Chili's is four-star dining.
It sure is.
And they've had 2 years of Desmond and Marcus and some Taylor Heineke. Like, when you had Matt Ryan in his prime, I don't know. Matt was better than Chili's. Matt was like, Matt was Cheesecake Factory. I wouldn't say Matt was New York prime. I wouldn't say he was, Chops.
But still, it's like.
Because that's reserved for Aaron Rodgers and Drew Brees. Matt was, it was a better chain restaurant.
You know where Matt was? Matt's where you would go on prom.
Yeah.
It's still nice.
Yeah.
It's not the crazy, but it's still nice.
It's fun. It's enjoyable. You'll put up some numbers.
Yeah. Whereas, and I wish I had, the stolen kind of poetic mind that you do, because had I started talking to Ben Utek about how Kirk Cousins is Chili's, I think he would have completely agreed with me. He would have been like, yeah, man, my Chili's closed down over at the mall, and I can't go there anymore, but, you know, I moved on to other things. That's what you feel like with Kirk Cousins. By no means am I saying this is fast food, I'm going to go eat at some, bottom-of-the-barrel place. I'm getting much better than what I had. But I also kind of know what it is.
What is Desmond Ridder, then?
Well, yeah, at this point, you are talking about Happy Meal.
But here's the thing.
It's kid stuff, man.
I know what I'm getting with the Happy Meal.
But it's kid gloves.
With Desmond, every order was different. I could go to the window and it would be okay one time. I go to the order and I could drop the order the next
one. Why is this meat frozen?
That's what I mean. So I don't know.
But you even said it. You wouldn't even let him throw 17 times in a game. That's kid stuff. That's Happy Meal stuff.
Hey, you lose faith or confidence in your guy, and guess what?
I like that. You know what there is? Kirk Cousins is Chili's.
Which is fine.
Chili's
is
a NFL quarterback.
I like Chili's. I enjoy Chili's. I have no problem with it.
And I named the Presidente. I've had a lot of stuff at Chili's. It's good stuff.
Now Braves fans from all over Georgia can experience the Braves 50-50 raffle. I was at the game last night watching that number just go up and away. And you guys can be a part of it, all courtesy of the Braves and the Braves Foundation. And their 50-50 raffle is presented by Harrah's Cherokee Casinos. For the first time ever, jackpots are open during Braves home and road series throughout the season, whether you're at Truist Park or just listening somewhere around the state of Georgia. Raffles will conclude with one lucky winner taking home 50% of the total jackpot, with the remaining 50 going to the Braves Foundation. So you can still enter in person at Truist Park or now online, but you have to be physically located in the state of Georgia when you enter. For complete rules and details and to purchase your 50-50 raffle tickets online, go to braves.com/50-50 or visit the MLB Ballpark app while you're in Georgia.
Chuck Oliver's College Football Today.
Got the beta king.
Presented by Roof It Forward. When your roof needs to be repaired or replaced, call the roofing company that supports Cam Sunshine. Together, we can roof it forward.
I'm not going to look to murder the clock, so I'll keep this a little bit short and sweet. But I think we've all assumed, and it's been talked about on a regular basis, and when you see him work, you understand that Carson Beck did return to Georgia because, hey, he was probably going to be a first-round pick this year, and he went back because he wants his own title, and that's admirable, and you realize you're going to make a lot of money while you're there. That's the nice part about NIL. Guys get to make a decision. Do I want to go make $10 million in the league, or do I want to make $5 million doing something else and just seeing if I can maybe up my draft stock a bit and also create some memories? Some guys decide that's enough money to do it. Clearly, Carson Beck is. But remember, we now have Texas entering into the fray. They're now going to be an SEC team for next season. Obviously, Georgia will take a trip over to Austin. If you're planning on going, call Matt. See about getting that taken care of.
Not me personally. Go to atlsportstrips.com.
Or call Matt. I'll give you my number. I'll give you a cell.
Well, carpool.
Nice plug.
It's going to be amazing. Thank you. God, I'm good at working them plugs.
You really are.
See what I did there for you, Matt. Quinn Ewers, if you want to talk about right now the buzz when it comes to possible first-round quarterbacks, Carson Beck pretty much has solidified himself there. Shador Sanders is considered that at Colorado. The wild card ends up being Quinn Ewers. Why is that a wild card? Because Quinn Ewers has the kind of stuff where he can go into the backyard against Alabama and torch them on their own field. He can enter into a playoff and put numbers. But what has been the issue with Quinn Ewers? Injuries. Injuries over the last 2 years where he has not been able to be available for the entirety of the season. Moving to the SEC, if you have an injury history, that's not really a recipe for everything's going to work out better. You know, the old adage, guys who get hurt tend to stay hurt.
Well, that's what's going to be on Quinn Ewers this year. If he's able to play a complete season in the SEC and Texas has the kind of success that their talent would indicate, he is going to lock down himself another first-round pick. And so when you start thinking about the quarterbacks around the SEC and the talent we've seen here before, you know, Jaden Daniels is going to go in the top five without a problem, perhaps top two, top three without an issue. You're now going to follow that up with two other first-round quarterbacks coming out of this conference. And remember, for years, hell, they don't breed quarterbacks there. They breed defensive ends, and they got big offensive linemen. They got some receivers. Yeah, you're now seeing a lot of quarterbacks, high-end quarterbacks, first-round quarterbacks coming out of the SEC.
Chuck Oliver's College Football Today, presented by Roof It Forward on the College Football Voice of the South, The Fan.
All right, coming up, Travis d'Arnaud now shares something in common with Dale Murphy. And I promise you, it'll shock you.
Two and the one and the two.
We're not doing that one.
Two where you should, one where you could.
Not happening.
One more.
Two in the winter, one in the dinner.
All right, we're good. Thank you. That'll be fine.
An extra one.
That's my favorite.
Go. Plus, Kirk Cousins is already falconing, which is so concerning.
Find that Eskimo Brothers song.
We'll see. Better get it in today. We'll talk about it next.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
When you buy a used car, don't be taken for a ride. Get Ford Blue Advantage certified at Wade Ford, Atlanta's headquarters for factory-certified pre-owned vehicles. Go to WadeFord.com. There you'll find a great selection of Ford Blue Advantage certified used cars, trucks, and SUVs. With Blue certified, nearly all makes and all models are in stock now. You'll find something perfect for just about any budget. Buy with confidence at the Wade Ford factory-certified used car outlet at WadeFord.com. Wade Ford. We are Atlanta's Ford dealer.
This is a 680 The Fan podcast. To hear more live and local sports content like this, tune into 680 AM or 93.7 FM or download the Fan app.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
When you buy a used car, don't be taken for a ride. Get Ford Blue Advantage certified at Wade Ford, Atlanta's headquarters for factory-certified pre-owned vehicles. Go to WadeFord.com. There you'll find a great selection of Ford Blue Advantage certified used cars, trucks, and SUVs. With Blue certified, nearly all makes and all models are in stock now. You'll find something perfect for just about any budget. Buy with confidence at the Wade Ford factory-certified used car outlet at WadeFord.com. Wade Ford. We are Atlanta's Ford dealer.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.